Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Souls on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
No, I wouldn't say there's anything to that extent. It's more just knowing the competitor he is, knowing that he's been waiting on this moment for a long time. It's been a grind, 3 years of trying to build this thing to get into the playoffs. Day in, day out, a lot of ups and downs, and so I know he's just looking forward to this opportunity, and he'll get it. Like I said, he'll give everything he's got.
That is Cliff Kingsbury talking about his quarterback, Kyler Murray. Cliff Kingsbury did say he believes that Kyler Murray, here's the exact quote.
Yeah, I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who you know, wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something, and this is his first shot at the playoffs, and I expect him to play probably the best game of his career, and I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
Okay, so we just talked about who a loss is most costly for. Cliff Kingsbury was on that list, top five, as you said. What Cliff Kingsbury said there really goes without saying. When you're a playoff coach, you should expect that every single playoff game from your star quarterback.
Right.
That goes without saying. Should it have gone without saying? Should he have made it public?
Whoa! I didn't even think to look about it. Look at it like that. Let's turn it back to the original and just what it and just what it means, not whether or not he should have said it. And I think what it means in this situation is Kyler Murray at times during his career has been absolutely electrifying, and he has been a one man force that has. That has shown that when he is right, he is such a problem. Shut up, Jarrett! He is such a problem for opposing defenses that he can win games by himself, or he can open up a path for the Cardinals to beat really good teams in succession on the road. He is that kind of player when right. I think we have seen Kyler Murray grow in fits and starts, if you will. I think that this year, early on, if you remember coming into the year, Kyler Murray made it very clear that there was going to be no more superfluous running attempts, that he was not going to be exposed in the running game the way he had so often been in 2020, in his second year. When all those RPOs, when he ran the ball a ton on first down, that was a thing. You remember that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a thing. So I think, and he showed early on, especially in the first 3 months of the season, 2.5 months of the season, that his accuracy as a thrower had returned. There were times at the end of last year where I think mechanically he had gotten unsound. Maybe the injuries affected his mechanics, but he was not the same accurate guy that he had been painted out to be. That's returned this year. I think he has made definitive steps as a quarterback. Early on, he was being complimented for growing up and showing more maturity and leadership. Later on, when things got tough, some of those leadership deficiencies reared their head again through the eyes of people close to the team. And I think here we are. Here we are in the playoffs, which is where Kyler Murray has never been. And yet most people, we're all sitting here going, what is Matthew? How is Matthew Stafford going to implode in the playoffs? There is, I get a sense most people are excited by the fact that this is Kyler Murray's first playoff game and not fearful that the moment's going to be too big for him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have that feeling either. There's always that thought of the unknown. What's it going to look like when any quarterback gets to the postseason, because it's a different animal altogether. Mm-hmm. But Kyler Murray, the way he has conducted himself, even before he was a Cardinal, you know, his season at Oklahoma, he handled a lot and he elevated his team. And even last week, he was asked about pressure, and he misunderstood the question, talking about individual pressure on himself to win games. He says, I never feel pressure. I don't think that's lip service. I think Kyler Murray is indeed that confident a guy.
Yes.
Now, it's not always going to work out for you, but I don't have those fears about this moment swallowing him up.
Yeah, but I think that's a double-edged sword. That confidence of his that is very inflappable, it seems like at times, I think also makes him maybe uncoachable at times, or not being able to to receive other types of criticism at times. I think he has got his own way, and that is going to be the way. And so I think what you're talking about right now kind of gets to who is Kyler Murray as a football player. How does he lead? How does he rally his teammates? Mm-hmm. There have been times, even when Kyler Murray was trying to adjust to this really, really heavy role he was given, and I've said it a million times, too much was expected of Kyler Murray from day one. If you think about it, if the NFL were a real, if they really had any semblance of patience, most every quarterback would come into the league and sit for a year and just watch and stand right next to the offensive coordinator and listen to every play call and just watch, learn and watch. That would seem to be the humane way to indoctrinate a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that doesn't work anymore. Kyler Murray was gifted a gigantic job on day one of his NFL career. He has struggled with the human relations part of it, as most young people might. But during the times when it was all kind of awkward, Kyler Murray could lead by making sensational plays. When he would make the sensational play, it rallied people. It fired up people. It got people going. That's what he's got to be. He's got to be that guy in the postseason. He's got to be electrifying. He has got to be confounding. He has to be demoralizing. He's got to the opponent, not his own team. Yeah. He's got to be all that stuff.
Good distinction.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, but there are questions, too, even based on the most recent sampling we have from Kyler Murray in the passing game especially, is it looked way out of sorts against Seattle. It's looked out of sorts for the most part in terms of throwing to wideouts since DeAndre Hopkins has been out. Mark Schlereth joined us yesterday, and he talked about that. He did the game for Fox.
You know, I felt like during that game, the receiving core and Kyler Murray just weren't – they didn't feel like they were on the same page. It feels to me like if you take away or you really sit down on Ertz, there's not that connection on a consistent basis with A.J. Green. It just doesn't feel like there's that big-time passing connection that they've been missing. And maybe they've been missing it since D-Hop has been out. But it just feels out of sync to me.
I don't think that's debatable. It has been out of sync. There's been a lot of reliance on Zach Ertz. That might be an increased security blanket this week. Rondale Moore could be back. Does that affect things? We talked about how he's been bottled up for quite some time in the passing game, especially because of that conservative approach of short passing and let Rondale Moore with his speed make something happen, and that hasn't really transpired. A.J. Green and Kyler Murray have not consistently been on the same page. Yeah. So
don't expect anything to suddenly magically materialize there.
You might be right in what you wrote on ArizonaSports.com and your belief that Kyler Murray, there's pressure on him to perform and make plays and be dynamic and demoralizing to the opponent, but it might have to come from his feet and his legs as opposed to his own.
I think there has to be an embrace the chaos kind of feeling to this, because I believe exactly what you just said to be true. I don't think you're going to be able to sequence passing plays against the Rams and consistently move the ball downfield. I think where you're going to beat them is out of the chaos, out of Kyler Murray on the run, making throws, extending plays, turning the ball upfield. That's the way you're going to compile points against the Rams.
You can text your thoughts on that to the FanDuel text line. It's open at 620 right now. Coming up for the Cardinals, there are benefits to playing on the road in the postseason, including one you may not have thought of. We'll tell you what it is next. It's Bickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
Yeah, at this point, I feel like maybe, it's another opportunity. I'm excited for it. Haven't played in the playoffs since I've been in the league. We haven't been in the playoffs in I don't know how long. So, yeah, it's an opportunity for this team to go do something special.
Yeah, that's Kyler Murray. Following the loss at home to Seattle last Sunday, when posed with the question, hey, you guys are going on the road for the playoffs again, you hear the answer start with a chuckle. The Cardinals have been two different teams. There's the home Cardinals, not good, and the road Cardinals, really good. The Cardinals are one of very few teams, and yes, it's different now, and there's an asterisk by it because of the extra road game that they played. But there haven't been many teams in the history of the NFL that have won 8 games on the road this year. So just from the logistics of it, they won't be daunted by going on the road to playing Los Angeles.
No, they will not. No, they can draw on a lot of previous successes, and I think that is that's something they've got going in their favor. They know how good they can be on the road. They know how much they vibe in those settings. So yeah, I'm not certain this isn't a better deal than starting at home and dealing with all the just the yuckiness that has now become part of the home game day experience.
Well, there's yuckiness. That's a good word for
it.
Because had the Cardinals been playing a home game this week, we'd be talking about, all right, which, you know, are we going to get the bad home Cardinals as opposed to the buttoned up road Cardinals? That would be certainly a talking point. Another talking point would be, how much of the opposing fan base is going to invade State Farm Stadium? It's a thing. We deal with it on a regular basis. Haven't dealt with it in the playoffs in quite some time. But now the Cardinals are going on the road to play a team that is really facing that as an issue. And it was certainly an issue last week when Matthew Stafford came out and said it was hard to communicate in our home stadium in the second half because of all the 49er fans.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford's wife, Kelly, went on a podcast and expressed her disbelief of it.
I'm not going to lie. I've never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit, and there are a lot of good traveling teams there, but that was wild. Like, Matthew is on a silent count. And then for those of you who don't know what that is, like, he can't call. It's like a... like when he hikes the ball, it's either a loud count where you can hear him, and that's what usually quarterbacks are on when they're at home, or a silent count. Matthew is on a silent count. Jimmy Garoppolo was not, who's the opposing quarterback. It was crazy. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, but it made it very hard for us because I guess, you know, we weren't expecting to be on silent count.
Earlier in the week, Bic, we talked about how almost shocking it was, even though it was plain as day to anybody who witnessed that game, you know, what the dispersal was of the crowd. But the fact that the Rams were so open about it, and here you are days later, they're still talking about it. Oh, it's in their heads.
Oh, well, it's because they feel mortified that their fans would do that to them. It's I want to bathe in this story. I do. I'm serious. After all that we have endured here with that issue, to hear the wife of the star quarterback in Los Angeles, California.
And on our Instagram, my plea, please don't sell your tickets to Arizona fans.
Yeah.
That it feels just like something that we've been talking about here.
Yes, it does. So that to me tells me the crowd's in the Rams' heads a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because this is the wife of the starting quarterback. And this is something that's become second nature, unfortunately, to Cardinals players. So it's not hitting, it doesn't hit them that way anymore. But this is new for the Rams. When they beat the Buccaneers, this is before they played the Cardinals the first time. When they beat the Buccaneers, they became the toast of Los Angeles. They became the new it team in Los Angeles. Partially why they doubled down on bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. and Von Miller. Mm-hmm.
Eric Weddle.
Right, Eric Weddle. It was the star power plus the win at all costs right now. Now they're dealing with, like, why are you not behind us? Why are you not in full throat pushing us on? How could you let the 49ers do that to us? And their fans do that to us. It's more than the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo had no issues communicating with his team while Matthew Stafford had to go on a silent count, which Cardinals quarterbacks have had to do too many, many times in the past.
Oh, yes.
Okay? It was the fact that Deebo Samuel said they were pumping in crowd noise because it was so quiet when our offense was on the field. So this is so clearly that is in the Rams' head. For better or for worse.
Well, let's examine that a little bit more. I agree. And we know about the intense, not only sports rivalry, but civic rivalry of areas. SoCal against Northern California, the Bay Area. They hate each
other. Pretty intense.
So the fact that it was the 49ers fans who invaded, that says something. Sam Farmer was on earlier and said, yeah, San Francisco fans, you can find a lot of them in Los Angeles. L.A. was without a football team for a quarter century or more. Those are factors. But could you imagine, you know, all right, it happened against San Francisco. That's one thing. Can you imagine if there is another red takeover on Monday and it's Cardinals fans taking over SoFi Stadium and the Cardinals are able to win? You want to talk about getting into the heads of the L.A. sports fan. It's one thing if San Francisco, your noted, acknowledged, hated rival does it. But let's face it, L.A. looks at Phoenix as a sports town, as its little brother. And if little brother goes in there and does that, that means something.
Yeah, that would
mean something. That's very, very tantalizing to me.
Yeah, and again, I'm fascinated. I wonder what kind of groundswell movement Cardinal fans have been with this issue. How many actually are going to go and do this?
Look, they travel well. It's been 6 years since a playoff game.
If this were a weekend game, it'd be different.
If they had
call in sick,
if they'd finished the season,
they finished
stronger.
Right.
It'd be different.
Right, it might be different.
If they finished the season stronger on Sunday, they wouldn't have this opportunity to go on the road.
I know, I get that, but it's just
a good point. Well, that's a really good point.
Let's just say that the Cardinals and Rams both won, so it would still. Oh no, they would play the Cowboys. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Shut up, Jared.
In general, if there was more excitement, there's obviously a ton of excitement for the playoffs, but there was more optimism. It'd be like one of those ones. Because look at like the Suns playoff run. The Suns fans traveled everywhere because this was like we're seeing something special.
Well,
here.
And let's face it, too.
True.
The Suns fans not only traveled, but they defended the home turf pretty well, too.
Oh, it was unbelievable.
I was expecting huge amounts of Lakers fans in that first round. Yeah. And they were there in game one, but they were real quiet. And the numbers shrunk as that series went on.
And we all lived it, so we don't really need to convince people of this. But you saw how impactful that can be. When you get that quote-unquote 12th man, when you get the galvanized, rabid fan base behind you, it can just overwhelm the opponent.
There was one other point from Kelly Stafford's quote from that podcast that I wanted to reiterate.
Right. Okay.
I'm not going to lie. I have never seen so many of the opposing team's fans at a game. And we came from Detroit.
Silly Kelly. Nobody wants to go to Detroit. Even if it's to watch their team play, they don't want to go there.
Right. Well, she was saying that they came from Detroit in a division where fans do travel well, where the Packers and Bears and Vikings.
Was that what she was saying?
No, I think she
kept playing the thing. She says it right after that.
She's also saying this is not Detroit. This is a football team that can win a championship. Why are you not here? And you get more fan support in Detroit for the Lions than the Rams are getting in Los Angeles.
I have a feeling that this game on Monday is going to feel like a Super Bowl crowd. There's going to be some Rams fans. There's going to be some Cardinals fans.
A lot of celebrities.
And then there's going to be a lot of people that are there because it's the thing to do and it's the place to be and it's an event.
Well,
but they're not going to be that loud or crazy and so forth.
That should make the setting that much more welcoming to the Cardinals.
Absolutely.
Well, and I wrote about this partially today. The Cardinals have the rare opportunity of possibly winning three games in that stadium in one season. You could beat the Rams twice, once in the regular season, once in the postseason, come back, win the Super Bowl there.
That's as many as they've won in Phoenix this year. Glendale.
Why didn't I think of that yesterday? That would have been great.
All right, coming up next, 7:30 hits. So does the Rush Hour reboot with Sarah Cazell. We'll get you caught up on the big stories of the day next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata Mornings. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
It is indeed the Rush Hour Reboot here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. I am Sarah Cazell with Dan Bickley.
Hi!
Hey, Vince Murata. And Jarrett Carlin. We are taking you through the top stories of the day during the Rush Hour Reboot. That's what we do every day at 7:30. Let's start with the Arizona Cardinals, of course, getting ready for their wild card matchup with the Rams in Los Angeles on Monday. And yesterday, the head coach Cliff Kingsbury said when the Cards and the Rams play that game, he expects it will be the best game of Kyler Murray's career.
Yeah, I think this is what he's been waiting for 3 years. He's a guy who wants to be playing for something and knows he's playing for something. And this is his first shot at the playoffs. And I expect him to play probably the best game of his career. And I know he's going to give it everything he's got.
Before I get your guys' reaction, I wanted to play a follow-up to that answer from Cliff. He said, here is what makes him so confident that it will be the biggest and best game of Kyler's career.
It's more just knowing the competitor he is, knowing that he's been waiting on this moment for a long time. It's been a grind, 3 years of trying to build this thing to get into the playoffs day in, day out. A lot of ups and downs, and so I know he's just looking forward to this opportunity, and he'll get, like I said, he'll give everything he's got.
Okay, Dan and Vince, at this point, what is the best game of Kyler Murray's career?
Ooh.
3 seasons worth.
The Rams game earlier this year was spectacular. He's had one game where he's rushed for over 100 yards. That was a game against the Dolphins that remains his highest rated game to date.
And played well at the passing, too.
Yeah.
Statistically, that's probably his best game, and they lost.
Game. Yeah, his rating was 150.6, I want to say, in that game.
Yep.
He threw for nearly 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and rushed for over 100 yards. That's probably his best
game. How the hell did they lose that
game? Yeah, how about that, right?
Okay, so what would you guys need to see from Kyler in Monday's wild card game to be able to say, now this is the best game of his career?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, I kind of almost erased the statistical element to it.
Sure.
If he does enough to elevate his team to a win, that takes over the top spot for me. This is territory he's not been in yet.
If he plays terrible and they win despite him because Matthew Stafford's even worse, maybe that changes.
Yeah,
it.
I guess the aesthetics matter.
Right. How about a game-winning drive? That's always been sort of a calling card of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. You're on the road. You're in a playoff game. You got the ball with one shot at glory. What do you do with
your
it?
Your backs are against the wall.
Right?
It's crunch time.
Right. Do you throw go three and out, or do you go down the field? Do you do a Joe Montana? Do you walk into the huddle before the biggest drive of your life and go, hey, look, there's John Candy in the audience? Which is a true story.
That would be weird.
That would be.
If that happened on Monday.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yesterday, Seth Walder, who is a football analytics guy for ESPN, he put out the 10 most likely Super Bowl matchups according to ESPN's Football Power Index. I won't run through all of them, but 4 of the 10 scenarios include the Packers, 4 of those scenarios include the Bucks, and 2 include the Cowboys. So nothing including seeds 4 through 7 for the NFC. On the AFC side, there are 4 teams included, 3 scenarios featuring the Titans, 3 including the Chiefs, 2 including the Bills, 2 including the Patriots. So right now, what do you think the most likely Super Bowl matchup will be?
Most likely? I would say a rematch of Super Bowl I. Green Bay, Kansas City right now is my most likely matchup.
Yeah, that's not a lot of people really think Tennessee is legit, do they? What do they have to do to be legit?
They must feel, you know how for especially the first 12 weeks of the season, we felt so disrespected as Cardinals fans.
Yes,
the Titans must have that feeling all season.
It's
all
true.
All the time.
Yeah.
It was always either the Chiefs or the Patriots or any other team that was the best.
Cincinnati
team
got a little brief glimmer of love, too.
Yeah, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Bills.
But the way you phrase the question, Vinny's right. The most expected Super Bowl matchup would be Green Bay, Kansas City.
Hey, I think if that happens, too, if Green Bay plays Kansas City in the Super Bowl, they should scrap the halftime show and invite the
Jake from State Farm.
They should invite Sarah's dad and the rest of the University
Retro
of Arizona marching band, the alumni band, down to play the halftime.
Oh, yes. I gotcha. Yeah, they did that back in the day, didn't they?
He still got the lungs. He works out more than anyone I know.
What,
really? Give him a call. Oh, yeah, he's the
what
most.
What instrument did he play?
Jacked. In marching band, it was either clarinet or saxophone. I don't remember.
Oh, wow.
He played both. I don't remember which one was marching band. You don't have a saxophone in marching band, do you?
No.
No.
Probably not?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
right.
I guess you don't, do you?
It's a little too jazzy.
It's very jazzy, yeah.
For what it's worth, Seth Walder's projections from the Football Power Index, the top 2 projected matchups, Packers-Titans, 11% likelihood, Packers-Chiefs, also 11% likelihood. We're moving on to our next question. Earlier this week, NFL Network's Tom Pelissero reported that the Dolphins have requested permission to interview Cardinals DC Vance Joseph for their head coach opening. Currently 7 head coach openings in the NFL, if you include the interim tags, Giants, Dolphins, Bears, Vikings, Broncos, Jags, and Raiders. Yesterday, J.J. Watt gave his endorsement for Vance Joseph, taking another swing at a head coach opportunity.
Vance is a great leader. I think Vance will be a head coach if he gets another opportunity. Will be a great head coach if he gets another opportunity, and I think he deserves it. He's a very smart guy, very knowledgeable. Obviously, has a lot of experience in the league. I think he's a great leader. I think that he has great interpersonal skills. I think that he does a great job of leading his coaches, of leading his players, of being able to resolve conflicts, of being able to motivate. I think that he does a great job at all those things, and I think that he definitely will get another opportunity. I think he's very deserving of it.
All right, final question of the Rush Hour reboot, Dan and Vince. Do you see Vance Joseph getting and taking one of those jobs?
Oh.
I would have thought more strongly on yes 6-7 weeks ago. I think there's still a possibility. I think when you look at teams that have gone down the road of first-time head coaches that have flailed, and I'm not saying the Giants are in the Vance Joseph business, but the Giants, as an example, they went down, they kind of swung for the fences on Joe Judge, and it was an unmitigated disaster. When the owner of the team came out yesterday and said, I've never been more embarrassed about what we've done as a franchise than what I am right now, you could see teams like that going to the, hey, this guy's got experience as a head coach. And I am a subscriber, too, that if you get a second chance, if you get a head coaching job, you flame out, you go back to being a coordinator and work with a different head coach, I think that second time around, that experience is invaluable. So I do think those should be considered.
I think Todd Bowles is going to get a job. Yep. I think Jim Harbaugh gets the Bears job if he wants it. I think that Brian Flores is going to be attractive.
I think Jim Caldwell might end up back in the league.
I think Vance Joseph, I don't think I've ever been more wrong about a coach than I was about Vance Joseph. His first year in Arizona, I thought, oh man, another dude who does not know what he's doing in here. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And I think that, and a lot of that came because he had failed in Denver as well. And
yeah.
So I was kind of probably biased by that. And I think he deserves it. I think he's got a great touch. And I think he really can impact a game from a tactical standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but that's not the job. See, that's the deal. When you're really good at it as a defensive coordinator, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be a good head coach.
True.
Many of them get the opportunity, but a lot of them just can't handle it.
Remember what Mark Slara said about Vic Fangio
yesterday. Exactly.
Yeah. I've got a horn update, by the way.
So do I.
My son, Brandon, a proud 4-year member of the drumline in the Moon Valley High School marching band, said, yes, you absolutely have a saxophone in marching band.
Wow. John Bloom tweeted us the same as did Leah Williams.
Aaron McDonald also tweeted us a picture of the saxophone.
Okay, so call Joseph Cazell in the Pride of Arizona. He'll play the sax and the clarinet for you.
He'll play them at the same time with those lungs of his.
I'm glad you resisted the urge every time you heard the marching band in that conversation to not say, what a dork!
Dan, if I told you I turned my mic on 3 different times, twice with their dad, once with his son, and I thought, let's be respectful here.
Exactly. For once, how nice.
The rich irony of Jarrett Carlin calling somebody else a dork.
There was no one cooler.
I'm like a proud father, Jarrett.
There was no one cooler than Jarrett.
Hey, Carlin, we all can't be the BMOC on our respective campuses.
There was no one cooler than Jarrett the Hurricane Carlin.
Yeah. Just call him the Hurricane. No one else did.
Jarrett got shoved into a locker by a clarinet player. Thank you, Sarah. The Rush Hour reboot every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, Cardinals-Rams. We'll be tuned in. We'll be engrossed in that matchup. Where does it rank in terms of watchability in the wild card weekend? Some good matchups. Some others, not so much. We'll get into all of it next. Pickley Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Cardinals championship chase coverage presented by 72 Soul on the home of Arizona Cardinals football. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata talk cards in the playoffs. Now.
We haven't discussed it, but I think, I would assume as a group you understand that, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Ben Roethlisberger of the Pittsburgh Steelers. How about that? You got the farewell tour, basically two straight weeks playing at home, and then last week, and then he gets a reprieve and another chapter of the farewell tour for Ben Roethlisberger this week as the Steelers eke their way into the playoffs.
Yeah, so I think it's one of those careful what you wish for kind of deals. I think Ben Roethlisberger thought probably his career was going to be over after week 17, mm-hmm. and now it feels good, it feels right that Ben Roethlisberger has one last playoff game, but what if it's 56-10? What's that going to feel like? Wasn't there a situation like this many, many, many years ago?
Oh yeah, I'm looking it up right now. Dan Marino.
That's what it was.
1999 against Jacksonville.
That's wow.
Remember you know what the score of that game was?
It was insane.
62-7.
Yeah. That
Dan
yes.
Marino ended his career 11 of 25 for 95 yards, a touchdown, and two picks.
He ended his career with a 55-point loss. Yeah. That could happen to Ben Roethlisberger.
It could.
Couldn't happen to a better guy.
And I think that's why, if you're ranking all these games, the six games this weekend,
mm-hmm.
Kansas City-Pittsburgh is probably the least watchable of all of them.
I honestly, Vinny...
And that's in the primetime slot on Sunday.
a lot of what we think we're going to get on NFL Sunday turns out to be exactly the opposite. But I see Kansas City scoring two touchdowns in the first 4 minutes, and this thing just being a time fill for the next 2 hours
yeah,
and 45
they
minutes.
They played the day after Christmas, and it was a 26-point win by the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. They beat the doors off the Steelers.
And the Steelers have no offense. So yeah. You guys both have that as the worst
Without
game.
That's
doubt.
Number six.
Without a doubt.
Not saying I won't watch it. I'm just saying I'll have to get some toothpicks out to yeah. watch it probably. Moving up the list, what's the next least watchable game?
Las Vegas, Cincinnati.
I disagree.
Okay,
I know you have different feelings on this game than I do.
Mm-hmm.
The first game on Sunday, the Philly Tampa Bay game. I don't think that's going to be much of a game. A lot has been made of Philadelphia's record against teams with winning records. They have not
what
beaten a team with a winning
record.
0-7.
Okay.
Going to Tampa to face the defending Super Bowl champions, who are not without their own issues, but.
It's going to be a super windy day in Tampa with wind gusts up to 30 miles an hour. The Eagles have an excellent offensive line. And
good running game.
And they've got this Jalen Hurts factor.
And you want to talk about a fan base that might take over a...
That's a great point.
A Northeast team playing in Florida?
Philly fans will be all over that. I actually see the Eagles threatening the Bucks. I see the Bucks winning the game, but I think this thing is going to be ugly and it's going to be close.
See, that's one of the games also if you're... See, that's the sort of advantage about playing on Monday. Because if you're a Cardinals fan or a Cardinals player, the Eagles and the 49ers, either of those teams pull the upset,
mm-hmm.
then you're not going to Green Bay in your next game if you're the Cardinals and you win.
That is true. That is very true. So I think we have those two games in opposite spots.
All right.
You had mm-hmm. Cincinnati-Vegas as number five.
And Cincinnati-Vegas could be a very interesting quarterback showdown between Joe Burrow and Derek Carr. It could be.
Cincinnati, they're the home team. They're the division champion from the North. So there's some expectation on them. This is their first time in the playoffs under Zach Taylor. This is Joe Burrow's first trip to the playoffs. But the way he's playing and the confidence with which he is playing right now,
mm-hmm.
that's what bumps it up. Above the Tampa Bay Philly game to me.
Dude's got a lot of natural swag, doesn't he?
Yes.
He does.
So Burrow and Chase and watching that passing attack right now is pretty intriguing, but I still have it at number four. What do you got at number three, Vic?
Number three, I think, for me would be New England-Buffalo. Even though there's a lot on the line, I think I know what that game looks like, and watching the Patriots play is like watching Alabama play. It's just, it's ruthlessly monotonous. Or monotonously ruthless. Or just monotonous.
Or just ruthless.
Or just ruthless. There's just not a lot of fun to be in. Now, I love watching Josh Allen play, but it's the Patriots, like Alabama, suck the joy and the life out of football.
And the projected weather for that game,
yeah,
by the way?
I'm looking at their forecast right
now. 3 degrees.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Saturday night, 6:15, that's an 8:15 kickoff.
Oh boy,
3 degrees.
That's what it says. In
goodness gracious!
And you got to, and you got to hope that Buffalo fans, you know, actually don't die, because they will be, they'll be in full effect. They'll be jumping on tables. They'll be getting
shirtless.
Fall down drunk. They'll be shirtless. They will be into the moment. They will not be beaten by the weather.
No. So that leaves 2 games left. All right. Best of the weekend.
Hold on, though. Back to staff meteorologist Jared Carlin. Mm-hmm. What's the wind supposed to be like?
I don't know.
That might be more...
the wind in Buffalo?
More applicable. Because we've seen New England, when that was a factor, they didn't throw the football. They ran it. What, did Mac Jones throw the ball 3 times in that game? Could we see a repeat recipe of
completed
that?
Completed 2 of 3, yeah.
Yeah. Next on my list, I got... What we're up to number 2?
San Francisco, Dallas.
I'm taking the local aspect out of it. I actually have Cardinals Rams as number 2.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got Cardinals Rams number 1, and not just because I've got an emotional investment in the Cardinals. I just think that entertainment-wise, that is going to be the best game. Because it's the Kyler Murray, it's the Matthew Stafford. There's a lot of star power.
There is. There's arguably as much star power in the San Francisco game. And look, I can't stand them. I am not a Niners fan. Yeah, I rooted for them last week, and they actually held up their end of the bargain. I just find them to be such a fascinating football team right now. With the way they employ Deebo Samuel, who is a devastating talent, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, really coming, you know, toughening up and carrying
very
his
handsome
team.
Man.
Oh, he's easy to look. He's absolutely easy on the eyes.
Absolutely.
There's no
gorgeous
doubt about it.
Absolutely.
And it's America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
Here's what I will point out. Of all the first-round matchups, the Cardinals-Rams has the most combined wins between the two teams.
At what, 23?
23. So on paper, it is the best matchup.
This 49ers team, Tim Kawakami wrote an interesting piece that it's been rough in patches for that football team. There was the Brandon Ayuk weirdness early on.
Yes.
There was the quarterback stuff going on. There was a lot of people who thought Kyle Shanahan was messing this thing up.
There was a radio producer in Phoenix, Arizona, who proclaimed the 49ers dead on several occasions.
Oh, what an idiot.
Who was that guy?
I think it was Aaron Malone. Heard that one.
It was not Aaron Malone.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line. It's open all the time. It's 620, 620 is how you access that. Coming up next, halfway through on this Thursday.
Right, let's go.
Vic's got your blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.